from NPR and WBEZ Chicago. This is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, in for Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sengel.
Thank you, Korva. Thank all. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Good to be back with you. Good to be back with you after our break. It is Labor Day weekend. The summer news break is over. Congress is going back into session. The dumb bank robbers are signing their stick-up notes. And the animal smugglers are stuffing muskrats down their pants. Now, we wanted to wait one more week before we got started until Carl Castle got back from his vacation, but the smuggler said the muskrats are getting frisky down there, so we better get going. With Korva manning the funny voices, we're ready to welcome our first listener contestant. If you'd like to play, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Catherine from Yardley, Pennsylvania.
Hey, how are things in Yardley?
They are still hot.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean really attractive in a kind of sexy way, don't you?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. What do you do there?
I am a speech therapist, and I work with kids with autism.
Oh, really? That's something I cannot make any jokes about at all. Do you do anything that's less virtuous that you can help me out with?
I like to hoop, and I have a rescue pit bull named Cinderella.
You have a rescue pit bull?
Yes, I do.
So that means if someone's in trouble somewhere near Yardley, a pit bull will come?
No. We actually rescued her from the animal.
Oh, I'm sorry. It works that way. Sorry.
And now she's not willing to pay it forward?
No.
Well, welcome to the show, Catherine. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. Mr. Adam Felber is right here.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Catherine. Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne. Hi.
And lastly, welcome a member of the Axis of Evil comedy tour, comedian Maz Jobrani. Yes.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, Yardley.
Hi, Maz.
Now, Catherine, we've invited you here to play a new game we're calling...
A Casual Encounter with This Week's News.
Now, we were, you know, perusing Craigslist, and we came across some ads that looked just like they had been placed by people in This Week's News. So Korva right here is going to read out for you these ads from Craigslist. Your job, explain who or what they might be about. Do that 2 times out of 3. You will win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. All right, here is your first ad.
For sale. If you're looking for a cheap, slightly used, oval-shaped rug, mission accomplished. Used for 2 terms, has a few non-alcoholic beer stains, pick up by the curb on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Reading that, we realized that somebody had redecorated recently. Who?
Barack Obama.
Exactly right. Yes, this is true. Americans got their first glimpse of the newly redecorated Oval Office Tuesday night during the president's speech marking the end of combat operations in Iraq. The style of the room is now less early Georgian than late IKEA. It's got a new coffee table, some stuffed couches. It features a new rug. It's large enough to fit the room, but compact enough so that the president can roll it out 5 times a day for prayer. That's what I heard, anyway. Did you hear that? I read that in the internet. Now, the speech itself on Tuesday night, a lot of people criticized the president for cramming too many other topics into the speech, talking about withdrawing from Iraq, yes, but also pride in the military, the Afghan war, revitalizing the economy, his review of Eat, Pray, Love. He really liked it.
Surprise there.
It was as if he was afraid if he didn't keep it interesting, we'd stop watching.
I was just, as an Iranian-American, I was happy that he didn't talk about Iran in the speech, because it seems like anytime there's a speech on anything, somehow Iran gets mentioned.
Yeah, there is there's that little slap to the side, and let's not forget.
Yes.
Yeah, like in the Easter egg roll, welcome, children. Damn Iran.
Can we go back to the Oval Office redecoration?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, which is much more interesting than the speech was.
Really, you're watching him to like deliver this speech, ending this war, and you're going, get out of the way, I can't see the curtains, come on, move.
No, big scandal was that the couches are too casual.
Yeah.
And that the coffee table is terrible and not historic and sort of antique-y enough.
That's a big scandal?
Yeah. The coffee table caused a lot of uproar among the decorator types.
Yeah, in what circles are we talking about?
No, it's a shame because...
you can't walk out on the street without overhearing somebody talking about those damn coffee tables in the Oval Office.
Corva, what is the next ad?
This is also from Casual Encounters, Peter. It says, seeking enemy with benefits. Things heating up in your Gaza Strip? Follow my roadmap for love to a two-guy solution. I won't restrict your movements all night long.
That could have been placed by either of two important guests at a meeting in Washington this week that was designed to finally bring about what?
Middle East peace.
Yes, indeed. President Obama, who apparently does not have enough problems, hosted Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas at the White House for peace talks. Expectations for these negotiations were so low that, and this is true.
How low were they?
They were so low that the meeting, and this is true, the meeting was deemed a success because they agreed to another meeting. That's true. And that meeting, well, if it goes well, maybe they'll have another meeting. Because these two men are so old-fashioned, they have old-fashioned virtue. No actual peace until the third date.
Yeah, because you remember how irresponsible everybody was in the 70s? It's like, you know, dude, we got together once, now we totally have peace.
Yeah, let's get crazy. Yeah. Just making peace with people whose names you didn't even know.
Really?
You'd have to sign the peace treaty, and you'd be like, oh, God, I forgot his name.
Right? I'm going to sign it anyway.
Yeah, you know,
I'll sign my name, he'll sign his. We're
but
done.
Now it's much more conservative. Yeah. This is actually true. The two men, and this is also very unusual, the two men actually met together with no aides and interpreters for an hour, just the two of them. We imagine it was the most awkward meeting in the White House since Bill and Hillary dined alone. Corva, what was the last ad that we found in Craigslist?
Missed connection. Me, dressed in sequined red, white, and blue flag shirt with Uncle Sam fake beard. You, unattractive man, or possibly Abraham Lincoln impersonator. We talked about our shared love of country and motorized beer coolers. I have a dream of seeing you again.
Those two people might have met at a big rally hosted by whom?
Ooh, let me guess. Glenn Beck?
Yes, indeed. This, of course, was last Saturday. Restoring America's Honor, it was called. A lot of observers were underwhelmed by the Restoring Honor rally on the same day and same place as Dr. King's famous I Have a Dream speech. Instead of a conspiracy theory festival, it was mostly a mild, patriotic, religious revival, sort of Woodstock for middle-aged white people. Watch out for the brown Flomax! We don't know why Mr. Beck abandoned his blackboard for the day and his attacks on President Obama, instead went on about God. Maybe the voices in his head had a religious conversion. Yes. We really shouldn't mock, because the only other way in today's America to get that many people together in one place is to offer them either Justin Bieber or a job. Did you guys watch the rally?
No. I didn't watch much, but was any people of color in the audience? And if they were, did they know they were there?
There was some sunburn.
There was some sunburn.
A lot of sunburn.
Yeah, sunburn.
Corva, how did Catherine do in our quiz?
Well, Catherine got three right. So, Catherine, you're going to win Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine.
Oh, thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Thanks for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roxanne, the U.S. Army, as you know, finest fighting force in the world, but it's always changing. In fact, new recruits will no longer be required to do what?
Fight?
Yes, we're moving toward a more pacifist army. Negotiation? No.
Boot camp?
No, it's an aspect of boot camp.
Push-ups.
Close enough. Push-ups and sit-ups is the answer. No more of either, at least not nearly so many of them. It turns out that in the 21st century, our recruits tend not to be able to bend that way. The general in charge of basic training for the Army says, quote, "What we were finding was that the soldiers we're getting in today's Army are not in as good shape as they used to be," unquote. In other words...
In other words, when they lie on their bellies, their arms don't reach the ground.
Yeah, something like that.
Very hard to do a push-up.
You recruit, get down on the ground and try desperately to get up for a while. Until I feel pity and help you.
Do we blame the couch or the computer for this?
Both of these things, apparently today's youth don't get out as much as they used to. The new fitness regime for the
you
Army...
You drop and give me one. Ish.
What's weird about this is changing this program, this time-honored basic training exercise regimen, it's a surprising admission of defeat from an organization, the Army, that's usually so proud. It's like instead of be all that you can be, it's now, so I guess that's all you can be. Thank you. Good to be back from our break. It's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Erin Kent from Rockville, Maryland.
Hey, how are things in Rockville?
They're great.
What do you do there?
I'm a cancer prevention fellow for the National Cancer Institute.
You prevent cancer. That's great.
Hey, we try.
I need to talk to my screener for a second. Can you get me somebody mockable? Something amusing, please.
I assure you we're plenty mockable.
Okay. Well, welcome to our show, Erin. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Corva, what is Erin's topic?
Sorry, Peter. I can't. I threw my voice out.
Aha! But fear not, Corva. All you need to do is file a workers' comp claim. This week, we read about a workers' comp claim so remarkable it restored our faith in the industry of the working man and woman. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about an unusual workplace injury. Choose that real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
Oh, yes.
Let's hear first from Adam Felber.
When Zhu Jing understands the hazards of his workplace, like a lot of his coworkers, he's had incidents. He has lost the hearing in one ear, is missing parts of two of his fingers, and has twice sustained third-degree burns on his face and neck. But that's not what he's upset about. Quote, "These are the hazards of working in a fireworks factory," he says. "We all know that. The other situation, however, is unacceptable." The other situation he refers to is that Wen Zhujing has filed suit for compensatory damages from the Hongshu Fireworks Company on the grounds that their food is terrible. Quote, "The burns, the noise, that I understand, but our employer has the obligation to feed us food that does not do to our insides what his product does to our outsides." According to Wen's suit, several years of unacceptable fare in the commissary have resulted in horrible acid reflux, loss of appetite, and a fast-developing ulcer. And all the heavy sauces, oi, don't get him started. It's enough to make you not want to work around heavy explosives. Astoundingly, Wen might win. Rural courts in China have twice this year already found against employers for inferior food. Wen says he doesn't want gourmet food at work, just a little less bang for the buck.
A fireworks worker getting upset by the food in the factory. Your next story of an on-the-job owie comes from Maz Jobrani.
Welterweight boxer Ray James Jr. has filed a workers' comp suit with the Nevada Boxing Commission and Golden Nugget Casino. He claims his opponent, Ramiro Rodriguez Fernandez El Niño El Torres, used his freakishly large knuckles to knock out James's gold tooth during a bout in July of 2010. James is famed in boxing for a mouthful of gold teeth, but he says the one he lost, upper right incisor, was, quote, his favorite. James Jr. claims the Nevada Boxing Commission should have measured El Niño El Torres' knuckles before the fight to determine they gave him an unfair advantage over the normally knuckled James Jr. "When I saw four lumpy shapes protruding from his glove, I knew something was wrong," said James Jr. "When I came in to get a better look, bam!"
A boxer upset about the loss of one of his gold teeth. And your last story of a workers' comp claim comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Ever goof around with colleagues at work? Norman Vigor and Casey Bird, employees at Iowa's Xenia Rural Water District, love to kid around and greet each other in unusual ways, like, say, waving a boom of a truck hoe at each other. One day, Vigor's hands were full, so he wiggled his butt at Bird to say hello. Bird planned to answer by playfully tapping Vigor with his truck's mirror, but hit him with the truck bed instead. The ensuing workers' comp claim was contested by the company, who said the two men were horsing around and the injury therefore not covered. A trial court agreed, but the Iowa Supreme Court just overturned the decision and sent the case back to the compensation board to determine whether the bottom wave can be considered part of Vigor's job. In other words, if the booty bump was legit or if it's no ifs, ands, or buts.
All right. A booty wave leads to a workers' comp claim. Let's review your choices. From Adam Felber, a fireworks worker getting upset not by having his fingers blown off by the poor quality of the food in China. From Maz Jobrani, a boxer claiming damages because he lost a tooth. Or from Roxanne Roberts, a man claiming workers' comp because when he waved his booty, his friend tried to say hello with a truck. Which of these is the real story of a workers' comp claim?
Oh, these are all pretty tough. I think I'm going to go with Adams with the fireworks company.
The fireworks company in China is the story you're choosing?
Yes.
All right, that's your choice. Well, we spoke to a reporter who could fill us in on this remarkable claim.
The Iowa Supreme Court has ruled a worker getting injured on the job while wiggling his butt to say hello might qualify for workers' compensation.
That was, in fact, John Pemble. He's a reporter for Iowa Public Radio talking about the booty wiggling lawsuit in Iowa. I'm so sorry, Aaron, but as you now know, it was, in fact, Roxanne telling the truth. So I'm sorry you didn't win, but you earned a point for Adam for his remarkable story about the gourmet fireworks worker. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now the game where we invite on interesting people and ask them silly questions. It's called Not My Job. Meghan McCain became well known for her outspoken role in her father John McCain's 2008 presidential campaign. She has a new book out about life on that campaign trail. It's called Dirty Sexy Politics. Meghan McCain, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Oh, yeah. We got fans here. Meghan, I was so excited to get your book, Dirty Sexy Politics, because politics needs more dirt and sex. Then I opened it up and I read it. There's not as much sex as I was hoping for.
I think the fact that I'm talking about the fact that I have had sex, just period, is controversial.
Really?
Let's start slow. I mean, at 25, there's plenty of time.
But I was frustrated because at the beginning of the book, like the second paragraph, you're like, and then in the campaign trail, there's crazy sex.
There was. See, everybody had crazy sex except me because I was the candidate's daughter, so I was off limits. And I personally wasn't attracted to anyone on the campaign, so.
Really?
I know.
Was the rule about being the candidate's daughter being off limits, was that an official rule? Was that, like, handed out to the reporters? You know, you're
no,
not allowed.
No, it wasn't an official rule, but, you know, I mean, being John McCain's daughter, he was tortured for 5.5 years in prison. Men tend to get a little intimidated sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
You were blogging. You started a website and during the campaign, and this apparently caused some trouble.
Yes, it did. I just thought I was having a good time and blogging, but people didn't want their picture taken. They didn't want me writing about anything, and I was actually thrown off my father's campaign, which you'd have to check with Chelsea Clinton, but I think it's probably a first for a candidate's daughter.
Really?
And I talk all about it in the book. Yeah.
All the stuff. That
you're attracting too much attention to our campaign.
Yes. All the stuff that Jenna and Barbara Bush got away with, and you got thrown off the campaign. That doesn't seem
I did.
Fair.
I was thrown off.
Do you know one thing that I thought was, Meghan, this is Roxanne, one thing I thought was really unfair? The campaign made her go to image consultants to be made over, and And not only did they charge thousands of dollars, but they made Megan pay for it herself.
If really?
Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. Rock and roll, Roxanne, yes. That did happen.
Wait a minute. Your father's campaign made you pay for your own makeover?
Yes, and then I got a makeover, and this is the best part. It lasted like a week. And then I was like, I can't do this anymore because they had dyed my hair and cut my hair. And then I dyed my hair back, and I was like, I just got to wear my own clothes. So it was a complete, it was one of the biggest wastes of money of my entire life.
There's one woman in you say in your book who's like, oh, this is great because the Palins are coming out of the campaign, and they got all these kids, all these daughters. I'll hang out with them. We'll That didn't work out, did it?
Yeah, I thought we were all going to be friends, but political daughters don't want to hang out with me. So
are they afraid they'll like your wild sense of like not doing as you're told will rub off on them and
yeah,
they'll be throwing over their makeovers?
People are just intimidated, and you know, in fairness to those girls, Bristol was pregnant at the time, so she had other.
No, really, I hadn't heard.
I know. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
So,
and they're worried that you're going to be a bad influence.
Yeah, you were going to be the bad.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
We don't want somebody who's going to teach Bristol to make bad choices.
No. That'd be awful.
Late in the campaign, when you were sort of exiled off, you had what appears to be a fabulous night in Nashville, bar hopping with the country singer John Rich.
Yes, I did, and I love John Rich. We're still very good friends. I got drunk, and it was after the Nashville debate, and I went on stage at this bar in Nashville, and I was like, my father's running for president, and we're going to do this tonight, and just, like, totally freaked out, and the Secret Service had a meltdown. They're like, for the record,
wait a minute.
Go on stage in bars announcing that you're John McCain's daughter, okay? And I was like, oh, sorry.
You know what's funny
bad.
Is I've had some nights where I've gotten up and done that myself, and weirdly,
I made the exact same claim too.
No one intervened. I wish they had. In retrospect, you write in your book, you say that Joe Lieberman is the funniest and most charming man you've ever met. Have you met any other men?
Be nice to Joe. Seriously.
If I'm sorry, in person,
yeah. He is hilarious.
Really?
He is my favorite. He and Senator Graham are my favorite. He is hilarious, and he was so sweet and so kind, and he's just very charming, and I love him.
Because we have made fun of him for years. Can you stand up for Joe Lieberman? Give us a great Joe Lieberman story. Can you do that?
A great Joe Lieberman story? I'm trying to... There's so many. One time we were on the back of the bus.
All right, now here we go.
Okay, one time we were on the back of the bus. We were, like, in Ohio, and it was really bumpy. And I was like, I get really car sick. I'm like a chihuahua. Like, anytime in the car, like, I'm going to throw up. Like, I have issues. And I was like, Joe, I'm going to be sick. And he was like, just don't throw up on my shoes. And it made me laugh so much that I stopped thinking about that. It was like, he just had, like, these great one-liners. And I was like, all right, as long as I don't throw up on your shoes, today's a good day.
He said, just don't throw up on my shoes.
Yes.
I mean, I will grant you that he's a charming, wonderful, funny man.
It's campaign humor.
But isn't it possible that he simply didn't want you to throw up on his shoes? I'm just saying it might have been a sincere statement at that point. Megan, I want to ask you about the cover of your book. On it, an elephant is holding you in his trunk. Is that real, or did you, like, Photoshop that?
Yes, I really did, like, balance on an elephant. And being from Arizona, I rode horses my whole life, and it's like riding a really big horse, and it was really fun.
I don't know anything about animals, but riding an elephant is, like, nothing like riding a big horse. An elephant has a big nose that holds you up.
Have you ever ridden on an elephant?
I have. I've ridden both horses and elephants. Elephants are larger. There you are.
Is the picture of the... But is the elephant there so you can get the Hindu vote?
She said big tent, man. She said
Big tent.
Big tent. Megan McCain, we're so delighted to have you with us. We've invited you to play a game we're calling...
For dessert, how about a defibrillator on a stick?
It's late summer, and all across the Midwest, that means state fairs. And that means food that Mother Nature could not have invented if Mother Nature went on a peyote binge. We're going to ask you about three foods that you can find at a real state fair somewhere in this great land of ours. And if you get two questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's deep-fried voice on a stick.
Okay.
Ready to play?
Yes.
Corva, who is Megan McCain playing for?
Ann Cardia of Clearwater, Florida.
Here's your first question. The cliche of fair food is that it's always on a stick. Corn dog, pork chop, even spaghetti and meatballs. Which of these is actually available this year at the Minnesota State Fair? A, foie gras on a stick. B, camel on a stick? Or C, tomato soup on a stick?
Well, it's not foie gras.
Okay.
Tomato soup?
Tomato soup? Is that a question or is that an answer?
C, that's my answer.
What's your answer? It's tomato soup on a stick. No, actually, it's camel. Camel on a stick you can get. And that's not like a euphemism or a brand name. It's like camel, camel meat. We're told it tastes like bison. You thought I was going to say chicken, didn't you? But no.
Bison, right. However, tastes exactly like chicken.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It all comes back to chicken. All right, Megan, here is your next question. A state fair meal isn't complete without dessert. Which of these sweet treats is available at the Iowa State Fair? A, battered fried sugar cubes. B, the truck tire-sized donut. Or C, the hot beef sundae.
Ugh.
I would say all, but...
Hot beef sundae.
Every day was hot beef sundae on the Edwards campaign. I mean, honestly, how did we walk that far down the tracks without saying John Edwards? Somebody had to.
All over America, millions of people just spit out their breakfast and are promising never to eat again after that. All right, Megan, we need you to make your final call here. Your battered fried sugar cubes.
Well, how can I not go with the beef sundae now?
How can you not go with the beef sundae? You're correct. Yes, it is impossible.
Wow.
Not beef sundae. I want to be fair.
I'm not good at this game.
No, you're doing great. I want to be fair to the Iowa State Fair. The hot beef sundae only looks like a dessert. It's modeled like a dessert. But it is really mashed potatoes with beef and gravy on top of it, and then cheese and a cherry tomato on top. So it looks like a sundae.
Yeah, I would totally eat that.
You could, oh man.
But that's not really dessert.
Well, that's fine. But you're perfectly free to eat a second one after your first one, which is the entree. So it could be dessert. So we cheated a little, but we're fine.
Then throw up. Then you could throw up on Joe Lieberman's shoes.
Yeah. He loves that. All right. This is great. Down to the wire here. You get this last one, you'll win. The true genius of State Fair food always found in the depths of the deep fryer. Every summer, food visionaries find a way to deep fry things that were never meant to be deep fried. Such as this treat from the Texas State Fair. Was it A, deep-fried Lipitor? B, deep-fried beer? Or C, deep-fried popsicles?
I don't know. You can have fried ice cream. All right, I guess I'm going to go with the deep-fried beer.
And you were correct to do so. Deep-fried beer. The way you do it is you get a little pocket of dough, you fill it with beer, you seal it, you deep-fry it. And then you pick it up and you bite it and hot beer sprays all over your shirt. Which apparently is a fun thing when it comes to Texas, so you're all set. Corva,
I would do that too.
Are you saying? Campaign goes on long enough, next thing you know. Corva, how did Megan McCain do in our quiz?
Well, Megan got 2 out of 3 correct, so that means she has won the prize for Ann Cardia of Clearwater, Carl's voice on Ann's home answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations, Megan McCain.
Yes, I had no help there.
None whatsoever.
No help.
So there you go. So this is fun. You can maybe, you know, not going to be in politics, you can be a professional game show contestant.
Yeah, no.
Megan McCain is a columnist for thedailybeast.com and author of the new book, Dirty Sexy Politics, in your bookstores now. Megan McCain, thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Megan.
At the fair, there's no lack of food. You simply take your pick. You can find almost anything sitting on a stick. Pronto Pups, mini donuts, and an ice cold beer. I gotta get my cheese curds. I've been waiting all year.
Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, Corva prepares her roast chicken with a blend of parsley, sage, rosemary, and rhyme. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, in what is being hailed as a major breakthrough in robot technology, a team from the University of California, Berkeley, has taught a robot how to do what?
To kiss.
No.
I would consider that an innovation in robotry.
Nice sci-fi twist there.
Yeah, thanks.
What is kiss?
No, not kiss.
Something
presumably more useful than that.
Okay, I'm going to need a hint then.
They'll be stationed outside of dryers.
They'll be stationed out. Fold the laundry.
Close enough. Pair socks.
Wow.
Finally, an innovation that will make a difference in our lives.
You know what, would make a difference in my life.
Yeah.
I waste entirely too much time pairing socks.
Wait. Can I just make a small point?
You may.
All right. I sent my 18-year-old to college, and I bought him 24 pairs of exactly the same socks.
Right.
That's good thinking.
Because... If you buy all the same socks, this is not an issue.
Yeah. Well, you know what the problem is.
Right now, some scientists are listening to the show in Berkeley and crying, Roxanne. you just solved something that they just spent $50 million of stimulus money on.
Well, you know what the problem is. You know what it's like. You get the laundry out of the dryer, and you confront the huge pile of unmatched, almost but not quite identical socks, and you say to yourself, just sell the house and walk away. It'll be easier. But technology to the rescue. A team of programmers taught the robot to identify, pair, and fold together a single pair of socks in just 15 minutes.
I'm just going to ask the guys, how many different color socks do you have?
On me at this moment? Two.
Roxanne, British Airways has apologized for an announcement over the PA that erroneously told the 275 passengers what?
That the plane was going to crash.
Exactly right.
Whoa.
Turns out that in the cockpit of your modern jetliner, there are these buttons that the pilot can press to broadcast different automated messages to the passengers. And apparently in this British Airways jet, they put the button for everything's fine, nothing to worry about, right next to the button for, oh my God, we're all going to die. So they're flying along, and this automated female voice comes on all over the plane saying the plane was going in for an emergency water landing. Flight attendants just had to run down the aisles reassuring the passengers. They all yelled, "Psych!" Really, this cabin crew, though, wasn't taking any chances. The new guy they just hired from JetBlue insisted on pulling the emergency slide. He's like, "I've had it! That's it!"
Well, the British are so polite. Was the button that announced it was wrong? Just the never mind.
When we said water landing, we meant another round of drinks.
Adam, Gmail, those guys at Google are innovating once again. They've just created a new service on Gmail that does what?
Well, that sorts your mail into different folders. It's not very exciting, but it is a new Gmail feature.
In order of what?
Importance to you?
Exactly. It figures out which ones you want to read.
Yeah.
Priority Inbox is a service. It divides your messages into important, unread, and everything else.
How do it know?
Well, it does this based on what emails you've already opened and replied to. And while this seems convenient, there's a real risk that Gmail will end up telling you more than you want to know about yourself. Do you want an infallible algorithm proving that you prefer fantasy football to your children?
I do not.
Well, I don't mind if Gmail tells me that. I just don't want my kids to
yes,
know.
Yes, exactly. Right. Version 2.0 will go a step further and decide what should be important to you. Emails from your friend Eric go straight to everything else just because Gmail thinks that guy is kind of a tool. And that weight loss thing that you thought was just spam, Gmail says, maybe you should take a look at that. Just saying.
It's like my GPS, which... every once in a while, I completely ignore because I decide to change, and then it gets really upset with me, and it recalculates, and I ignore it, and then we start having, kind of a little fight.
It's like having a little husband. It's like, damn it, Roxanne, I told you to turn left. Would you just let me drive?
You never listen to me. Why did I marry you in the first place? Wait, we're not married. You bought me.
Yes. What about my needs? I don't have to ask directions. I am a map.
Fine, Roxanne. I will tell you where to go.
Extensive Google Maps directions to the end of a pier.
This is getting a little painful, Roxanne.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying sometimes husbands and GPSs should be ignored.
I understand.
Thank you.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. While there, you can find out about attending one of our live shows here in Chicago or on the road coming up in Oklahoma City and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter Siegel. Siegel. Matt Novak from Durham, North Carolina.
Hello, Matthew. Are you playing or auditioning? What are you doing?
I'll play.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Matthew. Now, Corva Coleman, sitting in for Carl, is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase, of course, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here's your first limerick.
I don't mean to imply that I'm easy, and some crude things they say make me queasy. But when it's semi-smart, like don't bypass my heart, I'll fall for a line that is...
sleazy.
Oh, close enough. We were thinking cheesy, but sleazy works too. According to a survey in Where Else Britain, 59% of women secretly like it when guys come up to them and say things like, if I told you that you had a nice body, would you hold it against me? A researcher explained, however, and this is important, the women who said they'd be more likely to go out with somebody who used a pickup line said it would also help if the man were handsome and rich. So you might want to try, hey, if I told you you had a nice body, here's some money.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Here is your next limerick.
The Romans have caused fashion scandals since before they were sacked by the Vandals. The tourists' bad move was the empire's groove. Yes, the Romans wore socks with their...
sandals.
Right! It's true, the ancient civilization responsible for huge advancements in civil engineering and road building and stadium-sized entertainment also gave us German tourists. Researchers excavating in North Yorkshire discovered a 2,000-year-old Roman sandal with sock fibers on it.
That's so nerdy.
Other historians are not as surprised by the news that the Romans were dorks. They said they've had their suspicions ever since the discovery last year of the Emperor Nero's fanny pack.
I wonder if the empire fell because they spent so much time trying to match their socks.
Exactly. If only they had some kind of advanced mechanism to match their socks.
Oh, that's why they fell.
Here is your last limerick.
Cows fare better than badly fed swine. We get tipsy. It spins our head fine. I say, yippee-ki-yay, I'm a cow sommelier. I will pair all my grains with...
wine.
Right, red wine specifically. Very good. Everybody knows that beef goes well with red wine. Turns out that is literally true. The cows at British Columbia's Sesmoo Meats have been given red wine in their feed since last year, and the result, we are told, has been meat with enhanced flavor and more fun down on the farm. According to a spokesperson at Sesmoo, quote, it definitely changes their personalities. They moo a lot more with each other. They get really chatty. The boisterous and uninhibited nature of drunk cows, though, has had its problems. The farm had to cancel the weekly Hut Udders contest. And there was the unfortunate incident in which a herd of drunk cows went out and tipped over a bunch of frat boys. You can walk right up to them and tip them over and they just lie there. Corva, how did Matthew do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Matthew got three correct answers. He wins Carl's voice on his home answering machine.
Well done.
Yes.
Thanks so much for playing, Matthew.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Corva, can you give us the scores?
The scores are Adam is in the lead with 4 points. Roxanne is in second place with 3 points. Moz is in third with 2.
We're keeping score?
Nobody warned you, Moz.
I demand a recount. No.
All right, Moz, you're in third place, so you're up first. Please fill in the blank. At 5 p.m. on Tuesday, combat operations officially ended in blank.
Iraq.
Right. Because he hated their programming, a man took hostages at the headquarters of the blank channel on
Discovery.
Wednesday.
Discovery.
Right. Because he refused to cooperate with the civil rights probe, the Justice Department is suing Sheriff Joe Arpaio in blank.
Arizona?
Yes. On Tuesday, California lawmakers rejected a statewide ban on blank.
Gay marriage.
No, plastic bags.
Oh, same thing.
A British man accidentally...
He's right.
A British man accidentally blew up his bathroom while trying to blank.
Poo?
No, kill a spider behind the toilet.
On
the
same
first,
thing.
On the first day of its release, the 700-page memoir by former British Prime Minister Blank broke sales records.
Blair.
Right, Tony Blair. In an interview on Wednesday, General Petraeus revealed that he's a big fan of New Age musician Blank.
Yanni?
No, Enya.
Oh. Isn't it the same thing backwards?
Yeah, no, about to say. I think it is. According to a new study published this week, people tend to live longer if they blank.
Drink red wine.
Close enough. Drink heavily is the answer. According to the paper published in Alcoholism, Clinical and Experimental Research, abstaining from alcohol tends to increase your risk of death, and even the heaviest drinkers live longer than teetotalers. The findings were immediately met with controversy, especially when it was discovered that the lead scientists on the survey were Lindsay Lohan and Amy Winehouse. Korva, how did Maz do in our quiz?
Well, he got 5 answers correct for 10 more points. That means, Maz, you have 12 points, and you've taken the lead.
Great. All right, Rox, you're up next, fill in the blank. President Obama traveled to New Orleans to commemorate the 5th anniversary of blank.
The Katrina.
Right. On Thursday, another offshore oil rig exploded in the blank.
In the Gulf.
Right. Because of a lack of evidence, Dutch officials released 2 men traveling from Chicago who were accused of planning a blank.
A dry run, the Yemenese men.
Right, terrorist attack, I guess. An investigation by the FDA revealed that the farms responsible for 500 million tainted blanks had violated safety rules.
Eggs.
Right, because of a permit dispute, a California bar has been forced to cancel its upcoming blank.
Oh, nude pig race.
No, a beer belly pageant. David Hasselhoff and Bristol Palin were among the celebrities who signed up to compete on this season's blank.
Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Mad Men and Modern Family were the big winners at this year's blank awards.
Emmys.
Right. Algerian hackers attempted to attack the website of an Israeli fortress, but accidentally hacked a blank instead.
Oh. Is this a dating site?
No. It's a British castle known for its annual teddy bear picnic.
Oh.
Isn't it cute? Well, Belvoir Fortress and Belvoir Castle sound alike, but one is an ancient crusader stronghold in Israel, and one is a castle that spends all year planning a party for stuffed toys. The Algerian group posted a note on the site declaring, "The cause of this hack is Israel's presence and the teddy bears." Korva, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
Well, Roxanne had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. Roxanne now has 15 points, and Roxanne has the lead.
All right. How many, then? Here's the math question. How many, then, does Adam need to win?
Adam needs 6 correct answers to win.
See, I hate being in the lead, because the third round questions are always the hardest.
That's true. Here we go, Adam. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Hurricane Blank passed through the mid-Atlantic states this week.
Earl.
Right. Speaking to a panel on the financial crisis, Blank said that regulators should be prepared to shut down banks that threaten the system.
Bernanke.
Right. On Monday, baseball star Blank pled not guilty to charges of lying to Congress.
Roger Clemens.
Right. Investment firm 3G Capital bought fast food giant Blank for over $3 billion.
Burger King.
Right. To help stimulate the economy, Russia's finance minister is encouraging citizens to start blanking.
Drinking.
Right, and smoking more. At an event on Wednesday, Blank announced new versions of Apple's line of MP3 players.
Steve Jobs.
Right. After she was caught with cocaine in Las Vegas, Blank first said it wasn't her purse, and then she said she thought it was gum.
Paris Hilton.
Right. 2 men in Portland, Oregon were arrested for shoplifting during a special promotional event called Blank.
Anti-shoplifting day.
So close. It was called Shop with a Cop. If you go to an event called Shop with a Cop and you know there are going to be 60 uniformed officers shopping with you, it's probably not the best time to shoplift. Police say the shoplifters thought the officers would be too distracted to notice them stuffing blenders, shoes, clothes, and tools into their backpacks. They were not. Korva, did Adam do well enough to win?
Well, Adam needed 6 to win. He had 7 correct
answers. Whoa, whoa!
Adam. You got 14 more points for a total of 18 points. You are this week's winner.
Oh. Well done.
And thanks for the tiara. This is great.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the next renovation at the White House. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Anne and John Herman, supporting City Year and the young adults who dedicate a year of their lives to community service and leadership development, cityyear.org. The George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org. And to the National Association of Realtors, providing information for those buying or selling their homes at houselogic.com/buy and sell. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Siri Belusu, to whom we say goodbye this week. Thank you so much, Siri, for everything that you did for us, and good luck in your next thing. I'm going to say your name one last time for Doug Berman, who loves to hear it, Siri Belusu. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next thing renovated at the White House? Roxanne Roberts.
The bowling alley will be renamed the Glenn Beck Lounge because it's loud and narrow.
Maz Jobrani.
Barack will turn the garage into a game room complete with billiards, darts, and foosball tables, so the next time the Palestinians and Israelis can't come to an agreement on who gets what, he'll pit Ehud and Mahmoud against each other in a game of eight ball. Winner gets Jerusalem.
And Adam Felber.
The coin-op magic fingers in the Lincoln bedroom will now only take $1,000 bills.
And if any of these renovations take place, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Corva Coleman, for doing a great job filling in for Carl Castle. Thanks also for Miles Giovanni, Roxanne Roberts, and Adam Felber. Thanks to all for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you back here with Carl Castle next week. Thank you so much. This is NPR.